In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Joyous feast. Today we celebrate St. Nicholas. This is our 117th parish feast. For 117 years, St. Nicholas has guarded us and guided us. He has protected us and prayed for us. And this morning I want to share five facts about St. Nicholas you may not know, or maybe that you have forgotten. Number one, St. Nicholas was an orphan. St. Nicholas was born a long time ago, the year 280, 1700 and something years ago. Patara is the name of his hometown. He is an only child. He is born to Christian parents named Theophanes and Nona. His parents are wealthy, but they are also moved by the suffering of others, and they are in the habit of giving away their money to those who suffer. By one account, Theophanes and Nona have an active ministry to the sick there in Patara. And in time, both Theophanes and Nona themselves become sick. And they die when Nicholas is still a young boy. Nicholas receives an enormous inheritance. But the wealth means nothing to Nicholas. He knows the pain of losing his family. He watches his parents grow sick. He is there when his mom and dad can no longer fight disease, and he mourns their deaths. It is no surprise that Nicholas then grows up and gives away his wealth. He learns at a very young age that nothing is more valuable than love. The love of parents, the love of one human being for another, the love of God for his people. If you suffer loss, know that St. Nicholas is also someone who is shaped by loss and grief, even as a child. Nicholas finds comfort in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Healing for Nicholas does not come through the wealth that he inherits. Healing for Nicholas comes through fellowship. His fellowship with Christ, his fellowship with those around him, and his fellowship with us. St. Nicholas is here today pointing us to Christ, especially if we also grieve. So number one, St. Nicholas was an orphan. Number two, St. Nicholas was a confessor. A confessor is a saint who has suffered for his faith. Nicholas is raised by his uncle, who is also named Nicholas. Uncle Nicholas is the bishop there in Patara, his hometown. And young St. Nicholas is soon ordained a priest, and even as a young man ordained a bishop, and St. Nicholas becomes the bishop of Myra. Myra is a town about 30 miles away from his hometown of Patara. But St. Nicholas becomes a bishop at a very terrible time. In the early 300s, the Roman Empire is ruled by Diocletian. Diocletian is ruthless and cruel, and he sponsors a long period of vicious persecution against the church. Christians are blamed for problems in the empire, and Diocletian seeks to destroy the church. He kills and tortures and imprisons thousands upon thousands of Christians. Nicholas himself, as a bishop who refuses to deny his faith in Christ, Nicholas is held a prisoner by Diocletian. Some say for 5 years, some say for 7 years. He is tortured. He is mistreated. And he is often held in solitary confinement. Nicholas knows firsthand the horrors of human brutality. He lives with misery for these terrible years as a confessor for the faith. There is hunger and privation and starvation and beatings, intimidation. He watches friends die. He hears the weeping of the men and the women and the children whom he serves as bishop of Myra. But what Nicholas learns in prison is that mercy and generosity are more powerful than the Roman soldier's whip. Love is a weapon that overwhelms the sword. Kindness and simple human fellowship can power people through hunger and through sickness. The beauty of the gospel washes clean all the filth and vermin of human misery. If you have been harmed, if others have made you suffer, if you face evil, know that you are especially precious to St. Nicholas. And if evil touches others around you, and we know that evil touches just about everything and every place in this world, then be like St. Nicholas. Stand with the innocent and with those who suffer. Run to them just as Christ and St. Nicholas still run to them. Don't run away. St. Nicholas is an orphan. St. Nicholas is a confessor. Third, St. Nicholas has his own special day of the week. We have many cycles and many seasons in the Orthodox Church. One is the basic cycle of the seven-day week. Each day of the week has a special focus. On Saturday, we honor the departed, those that have died. On Sunday, we honor the resurrection. Every Sunday is a little Pascha. On Monday, we honor the angels and all the bodiless powers. On Tuesday, we honor John the Baptist. On Wednesday and Friday, both days, we honor the cross. Wednesday because it is the day that Judas betrays Christ, and Thursday because it is the day of the Lord's crucifixion. Thursday, we honor St. Nicholas and the apostles. St. Nicholas gets his own day each and every week. He has to share it with the apostles, but as far as company goes, that's not so bad, right? And just as every Sunday is a little Pascha, every Thursday is another feast of St. Nicholas. Every Thursday is a day to honor the memory of St. Nicholas in a special way. Every Thursday is a day of St. Nicholas joy, a day of kindness and generosity. Thursdays call to us and they remind us to love Christ as St. Nicholas loves Christ, to love our neighbor as St. Nicholas loves his neighbor. Every Thursday, we have that opportunity. Get up and give your icon of St. Nicholas a kiss. Ask for Nicholas to pray for you. And then, even if just for a few minutes, find a red hat, put a red hat on, and look in the mirror and say, I too am St. Nicholas. On Thursdays, give secretly to the poor. On Thursdays, stand up for the weak and the forgotten. Don't just read the Beatitudes, be the Beatitudes. Be meek. Be a peacemaker. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So St. Nicholas is an orphan. He is a confessor, and he has his own day of the week, every week, Thursdays. Fourth, there's a connection between the Apostle Paul and St. Nicholas. To me, this is just fascinating. St. Nicholas, as I've said, he lives his life in just two towns. There is Patara, where he's born, his hometown, where his uncle is bishop. And there's Myra in Lycia, where St. Nicholas is himself later bishop. Both Patara and Myra, both are mentioned in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. These are cities to which the Apostle Paul himself directly delivers the gospel. Paul visits Patara on his third missionary journey, and later, as he travels to Rome for his trial and later execution, Paul also visits Myra in Lycia. Appreciate this for just a second. The churches served by St. Nicholas are churches established by the Apostle Paul. For this reason, St. Nicholas is a spiritual child, a direct spiritual descendant of the Apostle Paul himself. This is an image of the power of the gospel, This is the power of the apostles' teaching. This is the power of the cross. The apostle Paul shared the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and in time, Saint Nicholas is the result. Not just any saint. He is the saint of all saints. He's second only to Mary and John the Baptist. And what is true for Paul is true for us. When we, like the apostles, bring the gospel of God's love to places that need it, miracles happen. Yes, the world is a crummy place. Yes, there is evil lurking next door and around the world. Yes, darkness seems overwhelming. But you and I are sent into that darkness so that we might light a candle. We are sent into the wilderness that we might plant a seed. And from that seed, God brings forth fruit like we can't imagine. From an apostle's preaching rises the holiness of a convert. Because Paul cares enough to share his faith, the church in time receives a harvest beyond imagination. Share your faith. And in time, the Holy Spirit will raise up not just one new Nicholas, but an army of them. So St. Nicholas is an orphan. St. Nicholas is a confessor. St. Nicholas has his own day of the week. And there is this amazing connection between the Apostle Paul and St. Nicholas. Fifth and finally, he was a best-selling author. Maybe. So please forgive a little bit of holy speculation. But I had an interesting conversation with my church school class last Sunday, and I want to share it with you. Usually we say that all we have of St. Nicholas are stories about him. We say that, like Christ, Nicholas never wrote anything down, and so all we have are the stories that others tell. Maybe, just maybe, this is not completely correct. St. Nicholas is one of the 318 holy bishops who gather from all over the empire in the year 325 in the city of Nicaea to make a statement of faith. A statement about who God is, a statement about who Jesus is. And it is literally a fist fight. St. Nicholas himself, we know, gets into a punching match with Arius the heretic, the one who teaches that Jesus is just a man, he's not divine like the Father is divine. St. Nicholas, for this dust-up, is punished by his brother bishops. His bishop's hat and his bishop's vestments are taken away, and he is thrown into the cathedral's jail cell. It's the second time he's imprisoned. But in the morning, Nicholas is discovered in his cell, once again, wearing his bishop's hat and wearing his bishop's vestments. One other bishop even relates a vision in which it is Mary herself and Christ himself who once again make Nicholas a bishop. And so if you are one of the 318 bishops in Nicaea and you need someone to create the draft of the church's basic statement of faith, who would you pick? I know who I would pick. I would vote for the guy visited by Mary and by Christ in the locked cell. I would vote for the guy who endured 7 years of torture but still has a twinkle in his eye. I would vote for the guy who gives away every piece of gold that comes his way. I would vote for the spiritual child of the Apostle Paul. I would vote for the guy loved by so many in the church that later on he gets his own day of the week. This is pure speculation. I don't have a single shred of evidence. It's just a thought that makes me giggle with pious delight. But when the fathers of Nicaea needed someone to compose a draft of the Nicene Creed, the creed that we sing at every liturgy, the creed that we will sing together in just a few minutes, why wouldn't they choose St. Nicholas? Just as Thomas Jefferson was commissioned to compose the Declaration of Independence, maybe St. Nicholas was asked to write a draft of the church's creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, writes Nicholas, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, light of light, because Nicholas knows the light of Christ when everything else around him is darkness. True God of true God, because Nicholas knows the divine power of the cross to destroy death and to bring life. Begotten, not made, because Nicholas knows, as an orphan, that fatherhood and sonship are eternal relationships that have neither a beginning nor an end. And he came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man, because Saint Nicholas knows the power of the Christmas story. It is a story that changes the world. Saint Nicholas was an orphan, yes. Saint Nicholas was a confessor, yes. He gets his own day of the week, that's true too. And he is a spiritual grandson of the Apostle Paul. Did Saint Nicholas write the creed? I don't know, but maybe. And now every time I say the creed, it feels like Christmas Day. Thank you, Saint Nicholas. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.